Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Another draft comes by the wayside, dude, and the Sharks, this time, don't make the big splash.
Yeah.
Last year, I remember sitting in my living room, sort of the first big event at our new house. We're watching the draft, and the Brent Burns trade happens, and we start screaming.
We're freaking out. Giddy
schoolgirls.
That's right.
Freaking out. And while there were several big splashes at the draft this year, the Sharks remain basically on the sidelines, although they do pick, you know, with their pick, the 17th pick.
Yep.
They make a somewhat controversial pick in the second round, and then, you know, made several other picks to round out their 2012 draft class, dude. So I suppose we should start with Sharks' first round pick.
Yep.
Czechoslovakian.
Yep.
Yes. Forward Thomas Hertl.
Yes, I guess that's right.
Hertl.
Yeah.
A young man who was playing in the Czech League. Dude, thoughts on Thomas Hertl?
My first thought about Thomas Hertl was, who's Thomas Hertl? Which is, to be perfectly honest, I mean, I like to follow the draft and I read about the top prospects, but once you get outside, and I've said this many times in the show, once you get outside about the top 10, it's pretty much a crapshoot. The success percentage fairly rapidly drops to almost randomness after you get past the top 5 or 10 picks. So Thomas Hertl, by many accounts, a good Czech player. I think he had a good outing at the World Juniors is what I read about him. So he seems to be a guy with decent scoring hands, which I know is something that we talked about. So what can I say? I hope he turns out better than Lukáš Kašpar.
I think what people seem to like about him is his size and his hockey sensibility and his ability to score. You know, I've read in several roundups, you know, on the draft that this guy is playing in a man's league in the Czech league, and he's, you know, 17, 18, right? And doing well, you know, playing against guys who are 12 years older than him. So I guess that's something that is considered an encouraging sign. It's not like Hertl is going to be part of the Sharks organization. I wouldn't imagine for the next 2 years, you know, they seem to, when they pick a European player that's playing overseas, the Sharks seem to have a tendency to kind of stash them over there. You look at Harry Sateri,
right,
you know, playing over there for a couple of years before coming over. I don't think there's any rush on Thomas Hertl, but, you know, this team is certainly short on high end forward prospects
and high end defensive prospects.
Well, there's certainly more impact players on the defensive end in the Sharks system, you know, than forwards right now.
But, that's true.
You know, it the pick seems to be right in line with what, you know, the central scouting rankings had. You know, Hertl was ranked, you know, as I think the fifth highest European skater. You know, the thing that was maybe a little odd was, you know, the second highest European skater, Tuvo Teravainen, dude.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From, it appears, Finland.
Yep.
Was there still.
Okay.
And the Europeans really slipped in this, except for Hampus Lindholm. Hampus Lindholm jumped up in the draft and was taken by the Ducks. A lot of people kind of felt like he was a big riser. Philip Forsberg slipped mightily all the way down to the Washington Capitals at 11. So it's not like the Sharks reached here for Hertl. They could have taken the Finnish kid, but obviously they liked Hertl better. I think that was the guy that they had identified that they wanted the whole time. I was a little bummed as I was watching because a player that I was interested in was Canadian forward Tom Wilson, who is a little bit more of a physical forward that I would have loved to see the Sharks. You know, I'm always a big proponent for the Sharks getting a little bit more physical, a little bit meaner. And, you know, that player went right before Thomas Hurdle. And I don't know if the Sharks were interested in him or not. But in the second round, the Sharks pick a player from the London Knights who is essentially a fourth line player. All right. The Sharks go in and pick, as hold on, dude, as I'm looking here for it. The Sharks pick, where is it?
Dude, it's dead air. Would you just get it already?
Chris Tierney, a Canadian center from the London Knights in the Ontario Hockey League, who played a fourth line role.
Is he the little guy? No,
no. Some comparisons I read to, you know, they say that, you know, London has produced several effective fourth line players, and there was quite an impressive list of guys. I can't remember exactly who they were. This makes for great podcast information. But it was someone like
there Dave. There were some guys.
It was like someone like Dave Boland or someone like that, you know, and that they have a knack for producing these sort of bottom six forward impact type players.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sharks, God, have they really been searching for that?
Yes.
You know, third line shutdown center. They just haven't had, you know, they've grasped at several players and not achieved it. But the knock on this pick is that people felt like he was like the 130th like North American rated skater or something.
Right.
And you know, the Sharks are taking him, you know, with the 55th pick.
Right.
But the Sharks also didn't have any picks in the third in a third round. So I think they were, and they did trade into the fourth. So I think they were concerned that maybe they wouldn't get him because of that. And if they liked him that much, then then they had to pull the trigger.
I don't have a huge problem with that, especially, you know, in the second round. Obviously a lot of great players have come out of the second round, Mark Edward Vlasic and lots of others, but like I said, there's a lot of randomness there, and you see great players go in the second round, and you see you know, players in the first pick of the second round never play in the NHL.
Right.
So if there was one guy that the Sharks felt really strongly about, I'm glad they got him, right? I mean, that's all you can hope for is you identify the guys that you really want and you think are going to give you the value that you want, and you go and get those guys.
Yeah, you make the pick that you think is going to be the best one, and you just got to trust your guys. And obviously they identified Tierney as being that guy. Dude, a lot of big trades happened over the weekend while you were hiking in the wilderness.
I know, I was hiking and I missed all this stuff, and I didn't have any cell phone coverage. So when I checked my phone, I was wondering, okay, did the Sharks completely blow up the team and get rid of everyone? But the one trade I didn't hear about first of all, which I'm sure was on the number one headline, was the Jordan Staal trade to Carolina, where he can now play with his brother. So I looked at that trade, I think Pittsburgh came out the winner on that sucker. That's my opinion.
They did really well. I mean, to come away with a good player in Sutter.
Some people say he might be a better defensive center than Jordan Staal eventually.
So you come away with a guy who is going to play the role that you need and play it effectively. You end up being able to draft a player in Derek Pouliot, who they love, you know, who is playing with their other top defensive prospect in Portland. So now you've got a kid you've been watching probably for 2-3 years.
Right.
You love, you get him too, and you get another really high end Carolina's, you know, top defensive college defensive prospect.
Right.
They did really well for a guy who obviously didn't want to be there anymore.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, they got a lot of value. Number 8 overall pick, a good defensive center that can play now, and the guy that I was reading about is like the best defenseman in Hockey East or something.
So are the Carolina Hurricanes a bunch of chumps for making this trade because they could have had Staal for free in 12 months?
No, because somebody else probably would have offered more money. you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, there's always the brother discount. But that's, you know, if you're Scott Niedermeyer, there's the brother discount when you're like 33 and you're nostalgic. But Jordan Staal is still a young man, and so he could maybe say, well, I'll take this 5-year deal with Detroit or this 5-year deal with, you know, a division rival. You know, I'm you know, Pittsburgh, you know, a division rival.
Philly,
could pick him up.
Here right. I come.
They took Max Talbot. And why wouldn't they try and get Jordan Staal? They could use a third line center.
I think it's a good deal for both teams. I think that they'll both benefit from it. And it's certainly, as we are going to get into the free agent discussion here soon, seemed to make a huge statement on Pittsburgh's part that they're going to be involved in some festivities here on Sunday. And the other thing that raised that and made it super clear is them trading Zibanejad Mihalik back to Phoenix for, you know,
for what?
Two players that I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I didn't even look to see where they rank on Phoenix's prospect list, but I mean, they're just basically getting it out from underneath that contract. He never was a great fit in Phoenix, or sorry, in Pittsburgh, and was a really good player in Phoenix. So
he really was.
Also a good move for both teams, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got,
and now there's rumors that Paul Martin is on the way out.
I read today that Paul Martin is not going anywhere. Who's going to want Paul Martin at $5 million? Like, that's
not me.
No, that's not. I don't see them being able to make that move. You know, unless they took something bad back, like they'd have to take like Hanzus and, you know, you know, something that equaled $5 million for you to be interested. And I don't know. I think Pittsburgh might be stuck with him, but it might not be so bad if they're able to surround him with maybe some better players. Other trades that happened over the weekend, dude, Bobrovsky going to the Columbus Blue Jackets. There's been some pros and cons on both sides of this deal. Who do you think comes out on top?
I mean, I think Philly came out on top.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because Bobrovsky certainly has improved. He was given every opportunity to take that job away from the universe. And he couldn't do it. So I guess he could theoretically take it away from Steve Mathan.
He's the clear number one.
Yeah,
now.
I know, mean, but Columbus. Still, I certainly not the the franchise goaltender that Columbus was really looking for.
Right.
I guess he could pull a 180 and really turn into a very solid netminder for a team with no defense. But I have no idea how that's going to happen.
It's better than what they have, but, you know,
not by a lot.
Bobrovsky probably isn't in the top 20 netminders in the NHL.
Oh no.
You know, so not probably, if you're a Blue Jackets fan, you're probably not super excited about it. If you're a Flyers fan, maybe you're also not super excited that right now the universe is flying high without a net.
Yeah.
Like I guess they could just sign a stopgap or something like that. But I mean, Brizgalov was really flat at some points last year and is wildly unpredictable. And I still think the Flyers can't win a Stanley Cup with Brizgalov. I just don't think they can. I don't think he's mentally sound enough.
I don't know.
To make the journey all the way to the planet Stanley Cup, dude.
One more year, and I'd feel more comfortable making that distinction. I think first year in Philly, I think, can shake anybody up, especially coming from a place like Phoenix where basically nobody cares, to a place like Philly where everybody cares. And not only do they care, they're going to tell you right to your face that you suck.
But they dominated the Penguins in the first round and had nothing to do with Brizgalov.
Yeah.
Like, he almost, like, if Pittsburgh had played better, Pittsburgh would have won that series of five, because Brizgalov was not good.
I know.
You know? So
I'd give him one more year.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's got talent, but they certainly need to sign someone to be his caddy.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe that's a Johan Hedberg type situation where you've got a guy who can play. Speaking of the Flyers, JVR.
Yeah.
Straight up.
We got an email here, dude.
Okay.
From Justin. Questions at dudesonhockey.com. With JVR traded to Philly and the Blue Jackets asking for a king's ransom for Rick Nash, it looks like we're going to have to target our attention elsewhere. Any thoughts on the Sharks going after Evander Kane? I've been hearing that he is not happy with the Jets. What do you think it would take to acquire him? Justin. Well, Justin, like Doug just said, I don't think Evander Kane. I read conflicting reports on Evander Kane's willingness to leave the Jets. I read something that said, oh, the Jets might be looking to deal him, and then I read something immediately after that saying Evander Kane isn't going anywhere. Evander Kane is one of the best players on the Winnipeg Jets at this point, a young team that is really grown by leaps and bounds this past season, and I can't imagine the Jets being willing to part with a guy like that for the kinds of people that the Sharks would be offering.
Right.
You know, older players. I guess you could go the Pavelski route.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think the only player that, like, a Pavelski for Evander Kane straight up swap would be the only thing I think the Jets would be interested in. And honestly, I'm not sure I'm interested in that from a Sharks perspective, because we've seen one 30 goal season from Evander Kane.
Right.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? So what we've seen that from Setoguchi too. So like, right. What is he? Like, we're not sure, you know?
I know.
I'm just not confident enough to give up a, you know, Olympian, mm-hmm. you know, a guy who is,
yeah.
you know, a all-star type player in this league, in Joe Pavelski, for a second or third year pro, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'm a little bit weirded out by that. I mean, I think Pavelski would have to be included in, I mean, this is like a real franchise player for Winnipeg. Yeah. I don't see these two teams meshing in that way.
The Jets would have to win that trade. They'd have to win the deal,
right,
in order for them to make the deal.
For them to be able to justify
right.
it to
They'd
their fans.
They'd have to win the deal. They'd have yeah. to be able to tell their fans and say, look, we got this and this, and it's better than having Evander Kane, so
right.
everybody relax. I mean, that team almost made the playoffs last year. So
against all, I mean, no one expected
yeah,
I don't think that
they're going to be looking to move the guy who they probably have on all their advertisements.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
That's the face of their franchise. So unless he really doesn't want to be there, you know, I find it hard to believe that he's really going to be on mm-hmm. the move, you know, unless they get something super special in return. JVR for Luke Shen, dude.
You know, I've heard so many great things about Luke Shen for so long that I've almost forgotten, because they've gone on for so long and I'm waiting for the great things to actually come out of Luke Shen. Because it hasn't exactly happened yet. So I don't know if it was a JVR wasn't doing well. Well, I know he's had injury problems, so that's always a concern, but it seems like Paul Holmgren signs all these guys to long-term deals and then immediately ships them. Carter,
we know someone
Richards.
Else who does that too. His name's yeah. Doug Wilson.
Yeah.
He loves to sign guys to contracts and ships them out.
What? Not long-term, 10-year deals.
But you know, he'll sign Setoguchi and trade him the next day.
Yeah. Well, I thought Toronto got the better end. I think JVR is a better player than Shen right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing. Like, there's been talk of JVR to the Sharks. I'm just not interested. Like, not for what it...
Not for $5 million or whatever
no,
they signed
I mean,
him for.
Again, like, what... That guy, he's had one good playoff run, and otherwise, he's a 20-goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And so far. I mean, maybe right. he'll be on Toronto. Maybe he'll be a 30-goal scorer and really, you know, click up there and take the next step. But the guy has had, you know what, hip problems, concussion problems.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you. Like, I just, you know, he's too young and too damaged right now to want to bring on long-term. I think the Flyers won that deal. You know, they get a defenseman who might be revitalized playing in, I mean, it's hard to say a less pressurized
yeah.
environment, but it kind of is.
It kind of is.
And he'd be with his brother. Like, that's, the yeah. Flyers are an exciting young team that maybe got a piece that makes a little bit more sense, you know, with the emergence of Couturier.
Right.
You didn't need JVR.
And it's true that Shen is exactly the kind of guy that the Flyers need. They need mm-hmm. a young defenseman. It certainly looks at this point as if Chris Pronger will never play again. So they could really use a guy to step in and really provide some stability on the back
yeah,
end.
Yeah, and he'll be there for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's worth the risk in terms of for the Flyers, dude. Lubomir Vishnovsky to the New York Islanders for a 2013 second round pick.
Well, it looked like a terrible deal when it was rumored that he was going to the KHL, and now it looks like a really good deal that it looks like he's actually going to stay. So I'd give the credit to the Islanders.
So what's why are you making that move if you're the Ducks, especially since we talked about the whole...
Because you think he's going to ditch, and also because Bob Murray sucks. That's why.
But now, of course, now the Ducks have the rights to Justin Schultz, right? Is that Justin Schwartz, Schultz? What's the college player? Schultz?
Yeah, Schultz.
And now, so now they're going to be without Schultz and Vyshnovsky.
Yeah, yeah.
What? I mean, unless they think that Ryan Suter is coming to Anaheim.
No chance.
So
come on.
So what are they doing? Like this, I don't know. It's so bizarre.
I guess they must have really thought he was going to go to the KHL. That's the only thing.
So, so obviously, if he's going to stay and play in New York,
I know.
Like they're wrong. They were sorely wrong.
That's really funny.
It makes Bob Murray look like an idiot.
It does. Can you imagine that Vyshnovsky comes in? He's like, I'm going to play in the KHL. I'm out of here. And they're like, okay, you're going to the Islanders, the crappiest team in the NHL. And he's like, I'm staying.
I want to stay. I love the Coney Island hot dog. I love USA.
Basically anywhere but here, please.
So, I mean, this guy was a Vezina, not Vezina, a Norris Trophy candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, he was like
2 years ago
one of the best offensive defensemen in the game just a couple years back.
They gave him away for nothing. They gave him away for nothing. Stupid. Yeah. So stupid. Dude, your favorite, Mike Ribeiro, to the Washington Capitals for a pick and Cody Eakin.
I'm really happy I don't have to see him six times a year now. So he can now tank the offensive prospects of the Washington Capitals as well.
I loved reading the analysis from the Dallas beat writer, basically just ripping Ribeiro to shreds for taking like long extended shifts and overstaying his welcome on the power play and like basically ruining the ice time for all the other players because he would just take these long overblown shifts and that the coach, the rookie head coach, couldn't control him at all. Like
right.
Just had no control over him. And you know, the fans are upset that they're going to miss his 70 points or whatever, but everybody there seemed to be like,
yeah,
good riddance, get the hell out. You know?
Yeah, and so Washington now takes on another guy who is seen as soft to replace likely Alexander Semin, who's also
it's a
soft.
Weird move. I mean, it is when you have a team that is so widely regarded as being
weak.
Just massively dysfunctional,
mm-hmm.
and they seem to maybe get their act together and play this team concept that got them to the second round and almost to the conference finals, and now you bring in one of the most the worst team players in the NHL to pair with Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, this is not a good move.
This is not going to end well for Washington.
Well.
Which is funny.
Last one, we did not talk about Lindback to Tampa Bay, dude.
I think it's a good move for Tampa Bay. They need a goalie, so take it.
Yeah, I mean, the
it's
options
a good move,
out there...
It's a standard. It's a good Yzerman type move, right?
So either L.A. has no interest in moving Jonathan Bernier, and they might have no interest. They might feel like, why would we move Bernier now? You know, there's no point. We'll just keep him. If something happens to Quick, we want to stay on target. No point in moving him. Let's move forward. Or their asking price for him is just outrageous. And Schneider's clearly not available. Luongo apparently only wants to go to Florida.
That's so weird.
So
maybe you love SeaWorld.
You had to make your move. And, you know, if Bobrovsky and Lindback are the two choices, you got to go. You got to go with the Nashville goalie, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably a better choice. So
we'll see. I mean, two essentially unproven guys now mm-hmm. are going to be the number one guys. And it'd be good to see him get their shot, dude. You know?
Well, the other news is something that did make a headline is that something that Justin alluded to is Rick Nash did not move.
Right.
So I guess, dude, and it appears from the reports that the demands have not changed. They still want Couture as a starting point, and the Sharks have rightly said no chance. And there was talk about them playing footsie with the Senators, but the Senators aren't on Rick Nash's list and so forth. So here's the question. Are they going to deal him at all? You know, is this going to happen?
Yes.
Is this going to be one of those situations where they keep asking for everything and then they realize that they were being wildly off kilter and then they settle for some crappy package later?
This, the longer this goes, the more high the likelihood is that the Sharks get him. Because you know Doug Wilson is sniffing like roadkill right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to pay the price that's going to make, you know, him feel like he didn't get the better end of the deal. And Couture is not going to, it's not going to go with Couture,
right.
Period.
Yeah.
If this gets to July 1st, you've got to think that the Rangers are going to pull the cord and not wait. And they're going to try and get Parise. They're going to try, you know, so I read, you know, we'll get to Semin in a second. You know, they might make a play for Semin. They might, you know, they're going to try and get some more scoring. And I don't think they'll wait on Rick Nash.
Why would they?
You know? And if Nash doesn't want to go to Ottawa, you can't blame him for that.
Sure.
Toronto, like probably one of the biggest trade chips that they had for a Nash deal is gone.
Right.
You know, they moved on. They mm-hmm. did. They're probably much more focused on getting Luongo than they are getting Rick Nash at this point. So the suitors seem to be dropping off mm-hmm. slowly here. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that cell phone ring in mid July from Doug Wilson, where he goes, "So, Chloe Niemi?"
He's like, "Done. I'll take it."
I just don't think Rick Nash is going to lace him up in Columbus. Like, I just don't see that happening at this point. Like,
it seems so dysfunctional, but did you hear that Columbus like fired a bunch of scouts after the draft? They drafted these guys.
Oh, wait, dude, we got to talk about this.
What?
Did you see the email I forwarded you that evidently Garth Snow offered basically every single pick that the Islanders had in the draft, and they had the number 4 pick.
Right.
For the number 2 pick, and Columbus didn't do it.
But no, I thought that was only if Nail Yakupov was available.
No, I read that it was, they wanted Ryan Murray. I mean,
they wanted Ryan Murray, and they offered every pick, and Columbus didn't take it? No way.
There's been two different versions of this story. Okay. So, you know, I don't know. Let's say it's true.
They offered 7 draft picks.
Let's say it's true.
6 draft picks to Columbus for the number 2, and they would only move down 2 spots.
Right.
And Columbus would have had like 17 picks in the draft, and they did not take it. God, that's got to be one of the worst decisions ever. That really has got to be one of the worst.
Which one is dumber in that case? Is Garth Snow dumber for offering every pick for one player, or is Scott Housen dumber for not accepting the trade offer? Who's dumber?
That's tough. That's like a who's taller than Mickey Rooney contest. I'm gonna say Scott Housen's dumber, because I mean, these kinds of it's like someone offered you the lottery without you having to buy a ticket. They're like, "Here's $1 billion. I'm just gonna drop it in your lap," and you're like, "Nah." No, yeah, I mean, because it's dumb enough to think up that that's a good idea for your team, but it's even dumber to not see how stupid that is and not take it. I just don't understand.
Yeah, when you hear about both scenarios, it only makes sense that it was Nail Yakupov, like, mm-hmm. that was the condition. I mean,
right.
it doesn't make
that
sense
that I can
the other
almost
way.
Understand.
It doesn't make sense the other way, because, I mean, if you're choosing between what was Ryan Murray,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And any of the other defensemen that, you know, went, you know, in the picks afterwards. I mean,
they were all pretty close.
They're so close.
Right.
Like,
that's what
really,
I heard.
Like, it's not worth an additional. And it wasn't like all fourth and fifth round picks. Like, it was like 2 seconds, a third. Like, you could have.
Lots of picks.
For a team that has nothing,
yeah,
like Columbus, like, You could have gone fishing many times, you know, and used those picks and packaged them to move up. And, oh, I just thought that was really bizarre.
I know. I can't believe that.
All right. Well, we've been talking ad nauseum about the draft, dude. Mm-hmm. And we have Hockey Christmas coming up. It's July 1st, dude.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
I'll be glued to my SiriusXM radio because, sadly, I don't have the NHL network, so I can't watch the coverage.
Nor I. Can we watch TSN online or something?
No, they don't let you because we're not in Canada.
It's weak.
It's dumb. It's dumb, dude. So
sad.
We'll have to follow it on Twitter and on the radio. And I will miss watching that, you know.
That was fun,
I must say. But
let's kick it over to Darren Dreger again. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay.
Let's look at the top 11 unrestricted free agents. And, you know, as we go down this list, I certainly have no, you know, false hope that the Sharks are going to be in on any of these
players.
There's
no illusion that the Sharks are going to get any of these guys.
And any Sharks fan should know that it's not going to happen. You know, people talking about Sharks being on Ryan Suter or Zach Parise, like,
come on. There's
no way. Like, I mean, it's not going to happen. The Sharks never land that kind of free agent. When they've been in on the chase on some of these guys before, you know, we've talked before about them. Last guy supposedly they made a major play for was Dan Hamhuis, and it came down to the Sharks in Vancouver and they lost, you know?
Right.
And the Sharks have been in on some of these guys in the past, and maybe, you know, Scott Niedermeyer is the other one that evidently we were in on it till the end and it didn't happen. But Sharks never land a big fish on July 1st, dude.
Doesn't seem to
unless you count Jim Vandermeer. So here are these players. I'll throw them out to you, dude, and you tell me where you think they're going to go. Ryan Suter.
Well, it certainly looks like Pittsburgh's trying to clean house. I'm sure they want Ryan Suter. I'm sure Detroit wants Ryan Suter. So my money's on one of those two teams. Ryan Suter is... it's him and Zach Parise. They're probably 1 and 1A in terms of the free agents that everybody's looking at. You know, just what your needs are. If you need defense, then Ryan Suter is in your crosshairs. And if you want offense, then Zach Parise. So, yeah, I mean, clearly Pittsburgh, I think they freed up close to $15 to $18 million in cap space. I'm sure they're going to be willing to offer Ryan Suter a big chunk of that. I guess I might have to go with Pittsburgh because it's just a little bit of a sexier team right now than Detroit. Detroit really... I think didn't really impress a whole lot in the playoffs this year. And with Malkin winning the Hart and them seemingly, you know, with one of the better defensemen in the game and Letang, I mean, that's a team that can still have legitimate cup hopes, you know, for quite a while, especially if Crosby's healthy. And, you know, I think opinions differ about Detroit in that regard. So I'd say Pittsburgh's probably the front runner.
Yeah. You've slightly talked me out of my pick, but I'm going to stick with Detroit just based on the fact that this is a Wisconsin kid that, you know, probably followed the Red Wings, although he probably also followed the team that his uncle played for, right?
Right.
But I think the allure of going back home to, you know, that part of the United States might be very appealing to him, and Detroit with Ryan Suter still be a good team. So maybe geography will win out over Stanley Cupness, and I'm going to say he's going to go to Detroit. I think they're going to make every effort to sign him. They need him so badly. Zach Parise, dude.
Well, maybe the team that doesn't get Ryan Suter might get Zach Parise of those two. But I think that Minnesota might be in on the hunt. He is a Minnesota kid. I think he has from what I've heard, he certainly has a lot of good feelings towards Minnesota. And we've heard things that we've talked about on previous shows about how Minnesota may offer a king's ransom to sign him, and they may just try to come over the top and offer him an outlandishly sized contract, you know, give him the NHL max and all these kinds of things. You know, not that they have any trouble selling that building out, but, you know, it could really put a turbo boost into that fan base and the community if they got a, you know, number one A guy like Zach Parise in Minnesota. So I might say Minnesota has a great shot, although it really depends mostly on what's in Zach Parise's mind, which clearly I have no idea.
I think this is a lock for Pittsburgh.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, his boy is Sidney Crosby. They're like boys. They're tight. You know, the clearing out Jordan Staal just opened up the money for Zach Parise. Like, I think he's coming. Like, this is happening, and this guy just got a taste of playing in the Stanley Cup Finals, and now you're going to go to Minnesota, where if you sign a 7-year deal, you won't go to the Stanley Cup Finals ever. I mean, like, the odds are super low.
Right.
Where if you sign with Pittsburgh, your odds of going to Stanley Cup Finals next year are super high.
That's true.
So I think this guy wants to win and make the money, and I mean, I don't know if I'm him. I'd stay in New Jersey before I go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, I think the money and the sexiness there will be there a little bit, and they'll be in play, but I think that team's going to lose out. I think it's going to Pittsburgh, dude. Jason Garrison.
I have no idea where Jason Garrison is going to go, frankly. Yeah. You know, he's a player you don't hear that much about. Played in Florida, obviously, so he's not exactly on the headlines, not on you know, NHL Tonight every night. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that could use a player like that. I can't think of, you know, any team in particular. Certainly, you know, Dallas could use a guy like that. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could use a guy like that. Maybe the team that is really looking to go after Ryan Suter and doesn't get him might be the team that goes and tries and get Jason Garrison.
Yeah, that makes sense. You would imagine that most of these free agent defensemen are going to wait for Suter to sign and then see what happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think Garrison is going to wait and see. Whoever doesn't get Suter, his price tag probably just went up a little bit. That's why I have him actually going to Minnesota. I think Minnesota's going to panic when they don't get
Parise.
Zach Parise. Jason Garrison played his college hockey in Minnesota.
Right.
So they, in a way, would save face a little bit by bringing in a guy who, you know, while he's Canadian, you know, he played college hockey in Minnesota, might be the next best thing. And I think Garrison is a risky sign, actually. This reeks of Ron Hainsey to me.
Oh, really?
Where, I mean, this guy's had one good NHL season, like one, like, really good season.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest, he's been like a third pairing type guy. So this is a risk. Like, I wouldn't want to give him $5 million.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Is he really going to score, you know, 18 goals again or whatever he had?
Yeah,
Matt D'Agostini? Like, I don't know. Alexander Semin. This is my favorite one.
He's definitely going to Toronto because Brian Burke loves the Russians. No. You know, I don't know where Alex Semin's going to go either. I think he might go to, like, he might, like, fall off the board.
Yeah.
I think he could fall off the board. I was thinking, you know, Montreal could really use a guy like Alex Semin, but I can't imagine Marc Bergevin, you know, the French-speaking GM who has, they're lauding him already for Montreal having the best draft day of any of the NHL teams, and he's going to show up and sign a guy like Alex Semin, even though they could use that offense.
There's no way.
There's no way he's going to go. They're going
to
sign
him. It's a risky player to bring into your team. It is.
It very much
is. Unless you have like an opening for a bongo player.
Here the Doobie Brothers are looking.
You got to look up that. If you don't know what we're talking about, look up Alexander Semin bongos on YouTube.
Oh, that's the best.
It's a great clip.
It's a classic YouTube video.
Make your call, dude. Where's he going?
It could be like the Islanders.
Ah, that's who I have.
Yeah.
Gar Snow is...
He's crazy.
Freaking crazy,
he's
dude.
He's crazy, man.
He will offer Semin something ridiculous. They love to sign Russians.
Bill Guerin. You offer Bill Guerin a bunch of money.
I mean, you know... This is the land of craziness up there.
Right.
I think, and you know, the other team that I thought of would be hilarious. What if he goes to Anaheim and reunites with Boudreaux? They trade Bobby Ryan, and the solution to replace him is to bring
Alex
in Semin.
That would be hilarious.
I like the Islanders, dude. I agree with you. Like, I think
they're crazy enough to actually sign him.
Yeah. And I think that one could happen fast, actually.
Because, and you got to be some Tom Cruise crazy if you're going to sign that guy.
Yeah. And they are.
Yeah, exactly.
They're crazy. They're grasping at straws, dude. Right. He would be replacing the next player, P.A. Parenteau.
Yeah, P.A. Parenteau, he's actually a really good player that is completely hidden in the Islanders organization. He's a guy that I don't think is going to get a lot of buzz. I don't see, like, you know, there's not going to be like a big splash for this guy.
He's a 30 goal scorer, though.
I know. But on the island, it's, I don't think anybody really cares. You know, Minnesota might, you know, if Minnesota doesn't get Parise, I could see Minnesota going after a guy like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other teams where he could go, but
I've got one for you. Carolina.
You think?
Give those Stahl brothers a wingman, you know?
Yeah.
You're going from obscurity to obscurity. So you go from the island to Carolina. You know, they need some scoring wingers. You know, you've invested now in Jordan Stahl.
Nashville could take a guy like that. That's a David Poile move, is to get a guy that you don't hear that much about who's pretty good. Lord knows they need the offense.
Right. I mean, but I think he's going to get like $5 million. Like,
yeah.
Is Nashville going to...
That's not
do
really,
that.
Yeah,
that's not really their style. And I think Carolina seems to have.
But if they lose Suter, they could panic a little bit. I could see them trying to make it look like, hey, guess what? We actually do care.
I suspect there's going to be a 5-egg omelet on his face.
Yeah.
On July 1st.
You think
they're going to end up, when Suter leaves, then Hal Gill's going to leave. And then You know, Gostad's going to go, and they're going to end up with nothing.
You don't have Gostad on your list, do you?
Not for the top 10.
Yeah,
no, he's not for the top 10. Okay, right. Ray Whitney.
He's going to stay.
Phoenix?
Yeah. I mean, that's just the default. I think he's going to stay. He has good ties there. They love him there. He's a good player. He fits in that system. He knows exactly what he's doing. I'm not sure he's going to be a guy who's going to energize. I'm not as sure that he could be a guy that really energizes another team the way that we've seen some of these guys do so in the past. You know, like Keith Kachuk was supposed to be this guy that would like go to Carolina or whatever and kick ass. And it sort of never happened. And I could sort of see Ray Whitney kind of being that guy. It's like, and then he goes back to, you know, and then Kachuk goes back to St. Louis and is pretty good again. It's like, right. I think Ray Whitney's sort of like that. I think he's going to stay in Phoenix.
I have Ray Whitney going to the LA Kings, replacing Pancake Spinner.
Really?
Yeah. You know, the money's there. If you could choose between giving Ray Whitney that money and Pancakes, I mean, Dean Lombardi brings back his boy, Ray Whitney. You know,
it's true.
Come on over. We kicked your ass in the playoffs. Do you want to be on the winning side or the losing side, brother? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. That just kind of smells like a sneaky Dean Lombardi move after maybe they strike out on that. You know, they might be in on Suter and Parise, and if they don't hit on one of those, you know, they could turn their attention to Ray Whitney. Shane Doan.
Shane Doan's definitely staying in Phoenix, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. Matt Carl, dude.
Matt Carl's coming back to the Sharks.
Ah,
so I can wear my jersey again.
Yeah.
we definitely know he's not coming to the Sharks, because then I can't, there's no way I can wear my jersey again. Matt Carl, where, you know, he's actually turned into a pretty decent player.
Yeah.
So I'd put him on Montreal so he could play with Josh Georges.
Yeah, I've got the reverse Max Talbot happening here. He's
oh, really?
Going to go to Pittsburgh. I think when they don't get Suter, mm-hmm. they'll turn their attention to Matt Carl. So if Pittsburgh can get Zach Parise and Matt Carl,
that's
and
win.
Add them to that team, that's a win.
That's win.
That's a win. Mm-hmm. So I think it's funny the reverse Philly. You know, the reverse Max Talbot. I think it's funny that he's even in the top 11. This is a list put together by Craig Custance, by the way.
Okay.
ESPN. Olli Jokinen, dude.
You know, I was thinking really hard about this. Actually, I wasn't. Who cares? Who cares? I don't care. No. I think he's going to go to the Rangers, and then he'll get traded back to Calgary.
Dude, this is what will be hilarious. That Dallas solution for replacing Mike Ribeiro is Olli Jokinen.
Oh, I hope so. I really hope so.
So that will be pure comedy.
Although, dude, I do remember distinctly a game where against Calgary, Olli Jokinen killed us. I think he had 3 or 4 points that game.
Everyone,
I know.
Everyone hits gold once, dude. How about Yuri Hudler?
Yuri Hudler. He's in the top 11, huh?
Yeah, 20 goal scorer, right?
Yeah. I think Detroit would be dumb not to keep him. I mean, he's a pretty good player. I would want him. If the Sharks could get Yuri Hudler, I'd be pretty happy, frankly.
Yeah, I put down Washington to replace Semin.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because they're not afraid to spend money. Last one, Dennis Weidman, dude, a player I know we both like.
Yeah, I like Dennis Weidman. He's moved a lot, though, you know, which always kind of makes me uneasy when you see players move this much.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can just be unlucky and he doesn't mesh, and other times it's like, oh, he's actually a jerk and everybody notices.
He was a really good player for Washington last year.
I like Dennis Weidman a lot. You know, he could go a lot of different places. Any one of those teams that sort of lose out on Suter and maybe they're not big Matt Carl fans and they believe, as you do, that Jason Garrison might be a flash in the pan, could easily go after a guy like Dennis Weidman. I mean, he could go back to Boston for all I know.
Yeah, I'd much rather have Dennis Weidman than Jason Garrison. I would.
Oh, yeah.
I think you know what you're getting. I'm going full circle just because I like it. Back to St. Louis, where he started his career.
Okay.
Back to St. Louis. They need help on their power play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a guy that, you know, you could put him on the second power play unit. He's certainly an upgrade over Carlo Koliakovo.
Mm-hmm.
You let him walk. You put Weidman. You have Weidman, Petrangelo, and Shattenkirk.
Yeah.
You know, that's an upgrade. So St. Louis has the money to spend, too, and a new owner, right? So I think that they might make a play for someone like Dennis Weidman, dude. I know we're approaching that magic time. I see you looking at the clock, but we haven't talked about the Sharks in free agency, dude. Okay, the Sharks will do something, right?
Yeah.
The Sharks need and normally do something like this.
They're going to sign Mike Zikamanis.
I think they are going to add a bottom six player.
Yeah.
And I think that they will add one of those $1 million sixth, seventh veteran defenseman, dude.
Yeah, they're going to add, they're going to do like Jim Vandermeer part two is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
They do that. I mean, they usually do it on the first day, which is what's always so funny.
Right.
I mean, Vandermeer on the first day last year, actually in the first couple hours, I think they did it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And Nitamaki.
How'd that turn out for you?
They sort of, I know. So I put together a really short list here, dude.
Okay.
Of players. I was kind of interested in getting your opinion. The Vandermeer Colin White guy for this year, mm-hmm. that I think could be had rather inexpensively, is Corey Saric.
If we can get him inexpensively, hell yeah.
Saric really kind of fell out of favor in Calgary. He was playing, you know, even strength, you know, the fifth and sixth
There's
minutes
no
there.
There's no way you could get him for $1 million.
I don't know. I mean, Scott Hannon signed there for $1 million,
yeah.
and he played like four more minutes a game than Corey Saric.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I think Saric is going to fall into that weird, maybe not $1 million, but $1.5 million. He's not going to make the...
Yeah,
I don't think anyone's going to give him a big contract because he doesn't seem to be playing big minutes anymore.
It's true. It's true. So and if maybe, you can't beat Jay Bomeister for minutes, then.
Maybe that's a guy that, you know, he certainly, if you move Douglas Murray, you could probably get, I mean, Murray's making 2.5. Like you might be able to get Saric for half that.
Yeah, I'd take a flyer on that.
Certainly play that type of role. So that's the type of player, that type of player
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you could maybe look for the Sharks to look at. Bottom six guys, you know, I think we can assume that these are the guys that are going to be playing for the Sharks, although we don't know the status of qualifying offers yet. But I think we can assume Gagliardi, Desjardins, Wingles, and Shepherd are guys that are going to be in that four, right?
Winnick?
Well, I was going to say Winnick, I have to assume is coming back. You know,
yeah.
You got to believe.
I think it'd be a huge mistake to let him go.
And then you've got Hanzus, but I'm just not putting him in the bottom six.
I'm not putting him in the lineup.
I don't think, even if he's here, I don't think he's a lock to play.
Yeah.
All right. So here are some targets I'd like to see the Sharks go for here. I think if you see them have about $8 million of cap room if they trade Murray and don't take anything back. They re-sign Braun for like a deal like what Demers got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you give him like 2 years, $2.5 million, and, mm-hmm. and you give him something like that. And you re-sign Winnick for like, I don't know, 1.5, dude? 1.4?
Yeah, okay.
About right. You either keep Dominic Moore or you go for one of these guys, dude. My top two targets, dude. Jay McClement.
I like Jay McClement.
All right.
Yeah.
Jay McClement, arguably top five penalty killer in the entire NHL.
Yeah. Definite fan of Jay McClement.
And, you know, I was looking at, you know, comps for him. And the closest comp I could come up with is Max Talbot. You know, very similar, although Talbot probably offers more of an offensive upside.
Yes.
You know, Talbot last year got a 5-year deal, $1.75 million cap hit. So, I mean, I'm guessing, you know, McClement is easily 1-4, 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
You'd rather have him than Dominic Moore. Better size.
Yep. Yep.
Better talent.
Mm-hmm.
Jay McClement, you know, maybe that's a good target to have.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see the Sharks please sign Brandon Prust.
Come on, really?
Dude.
You're on the Brandon Prust bandwagon?
I think the Sharks, they're just, the team as a whole, dude, is so wimpy.
He's a smaller Brad Winchester.
But he's way better than Brad Winchester. This guy played penalty kill minutes in the Eastern Conference Finals. He was the fourth, like most, he was a second pairing PKer for them in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, he's not a Brad Winchester. He's not going to be out of the lineup. He plays 12 minutes a game. He's a bit of a wild card.
Yeah.
But he could score. He could play. Like, I think this is exactly the type of guy the Sharks need. They're just too soft.
You think Torts and Sather will get rid of Brandon Prust, though?
Well, evidently, you know, here's the catch. Evidently, he wants about $2 million a year.
Oh.
So.
No thanks.
That might be a little bit of a high price tag. I'd be surprised if someone gives it to him. But if he's leaving New York, I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Not at $2 million, though.
I'm also interested in Paul Gostad.
Of course.
I think the Sharks are going to be priced out of that game.
Yes.
This smells of Joel Ward, you know?
Yeah.
There's going to be other teams that are going to get involved on Paul Gostad.
They're going to give Manny Malhotra money.
He'll end up making over $3 million or something.
I'll take the under on that.
okay, if it's 2.5, 3 million, yeah. Well, Malhotra's making three, isn't
two and,
he?
2.5.
Really?
2.5 for 3 years. Oh. That's what they gave him.
So if he ends up making that, you know, I don't know if Doug Wilson will go that high, right? Another possible guy is, we heard him linked to the Sharks at the trade deadline. I admit I'm not excited about it, but Travis Moen, again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was a dud when we traded for him, but had three pretty good years in Montreal. He was a little banged up last year.
Yeah.
If he wasn't hurt at the trade deadline, he might have been a Shark again.
So what's the saying? Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you don't get fooled again.
Do you think that there's any shot Travis Moen comes back?
I really hope not. I really, really
so
hope
you would not.
Not
be excited by that.
No, not in the slightest. I'd be more excited by Sammy Paulson.
Oh, Paulson's gone. He signed somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, I don't care. I'd sign him again. I'd still rather have Sammy Paulson.
So of these four players, you are 100% go for broke for Jay McClement.
Yeah, I am totally in the Jay McClement bandwagon. And the Paul Gostad bandwagon I'm on, if you can get him for cheap enough, which of course we can't.
What's acceptable contract for Paul Gostad?
Has to be under $3 million. Has to be under.
Okay.
2.5 is really as far as I would be willing to go.
Okay.
So but I just think that's just not possible.
Well,
you're right. He's going to get Joel Ward money. He's going to get 3.2 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, someone, I just think he is the player that, you know, Jay McClement,
they gave up a first round draft pick for him, right?
Right.
I mean, he's going to get that kind of money. I mean, right. There's no way he's going to get $2.5 million for a first round draft pick kind of thing. I mean,
right.
He's going to hold out for $3 million and he's going to get it.
Someone will give it to him.
Yeah. He's a big guy, takes face offs very well, is a good player.
Flyers.
Yeah. I could easily see
Flyers.
That.
You know, sure. That'd be so unfair.
It would be. But that's exactly the
maybe
kind of
maybe he
player
goes to Pittsburgh. I mean, maybe he's the guy they use as their third or fourth line center.
Now they got Sutter. They don't I think you don't want to pay Paul Gostad $3 million to be on your fourth line.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's just too much.
So anyways, just a light list of guys that we should maybe keep our ears open on, but it wouldn't be surprising July 1st. I mean, Sharks fans don't expect, you know, to hear Ryan Suter.
Well, watch the NHL Network if you have it, and curse Uverse as you do so. But you know, don't expect there to be a lot of Sharks names thrown about unless you hear about us signing Travis Moen.
Last thing, dude, before we go, how surprised were you that there was no Douglas Murray trade over the weekend?
Not super surprised. I mean, there's been no rumors, but then again, there's never any rumors about this stuff. I mean, this is pure speculation on our part that Douglas Murray could be moved. For all I know, he's a complete lock to stay on the team. So it seems like the natural move for the Sharks to make, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens, but I wouldn't be that surprised if he stays around too.
It'll be interesting. Like, I would not have thought that if he was going to be on the team that he would still be on the team by July 1st, but maybe Doug Wilson's not interested in moving him at all. You know what I mean? And we could just all be so sorely off base. But you know, the move that Doug Wilson makes will be something that none of us saw coming. Or something like, you know, the Heatley for Havlat thing was so out of left field. Evidently, there was a rumor over draft weekend, dude, that the Sharks were cooking up a deal with Vancouver. There doesn't seem to be any sort of substantiated evidence to what it was,
right?
But there were some comments from Doug Wilson being on the record as saying, you know, something like, I won't comment on the trade until we've notified the players. But people seem to think that he was making a joke when he said it and not like being serious about there being an actual transaction. So
who
knows what that was about. Now it's been, you know, 3 or 4 days, so you got to imagine that whatever that was, whether it was just a friendly conversation or, you know, them laughing about Patrick White not being in the NHL or something, that nothing has happened there, dude. There have also been some people, you know, I see us getting closer to an hour, so I'm just going for it, dude. There's also been some people who are freaking out about Dan Boyle maybe being on the move, dude, and I am one of them.
Yeah.
I don't think I could take it, dude.
I would not be happy. I don't see... You have to replace him with somebody. Who are you going to replace him
with? Matt Carl.
No, please. God. spare me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk
me off the ledge.
Yeah, dude. Let's just stop. Let's just stop this madness right now, dude. We've gone long enough. We're gonna have probably another very long podcast next week because it's gonna be after July 1st. You know, these are always our longest podcasts.
I know. We're talking about nothing. We're just talking about pure speculation.
I know, but it's the fun.
Yeah, it's true. All right, dude. Well,
I'll talk to you next
week.
Happy
July 1st to you, and we'll analyze and make fun of everything the Rangers do when we come back.
Sounds great.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.